By the lovely people at Impact Media. Appreciate it. And once again, guys, we're on the radio. They cannot see you bow. You can stop. But, of course, we have tons of things to get to, and I got a very special guest on the line. So, without further ado, I want to bring on the president and one of the co-owners of your Texas Revolution, Mr. Charlie Hilbold. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm good, Jeremy. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. We worked out all the kinks that we had last week, and glad to have you on.
I'm glad to be here.
Because as I told you, we run similar software to that of Sonny Clark, the play-by-play guy for the Revolution, and so sometimes we have the same hiccups.
It happens. Not a big deal.
But like I said, it's good to finally have you on, and once again, I will throw myself under the bus that it has taken me a year and a half to finally get you on the show, because it wasn't on your end. It was just... for some reason, we didn't get you on.
That's okay. We had to grow the show, right? That's what we had to do first. It's okay.
Exactly. We're hoping this grows it even more.
Yeah, let's see it. Let's see it hit another year. It'll be good.
Definitely so. And of course, as we bring you in, we'll get to the game over the weekend here in a second. But kind of in a way, we're going to go over some of the stops you made before you made it to the Revolution, where you are now. But kind of the brief summary version of your story up to this point.
Well, there's nothing really brief about my story up to this point, but I'll try and make it as concise as possible for you. I've been in sports for, professional sports for over 10 years now. But I was, when I was in college in Western Pennsylvania, I went to a small school. I went there because I wanted to go there, not because of any classes they had. And, I was a baseball player and wanted to, ultimately get into the majors, but that wasn't going to happen. Decided I wanted to go into the front office side of business. I had no idea how to do that. So I kind of went out on my own and was able to get some volunteer jobs here and there, and then my senior year, I created my own internship on campus with the men's basketball team, kind of selling sponsorships and trying to increase attendance, things that I would do now. I had no clue what I was doing, but I knew I could get 3 easy credits out of it and at least throw it on my resume. I spent the whole year applying to every major professional team in the 4 major leagues, not knowing what to do at all, knew that I was a marketing major, so I sent my resume and a letter to every single marketing manager for every one of the teams. So it was about 120 teams or so, 126 teams, I think. And I got back a rejection letter from every single one of them, including 2 from my hometown team, the Pirates, which hurt even worse. They didn't feel the need to send me just 1. They wanted to get in there real hard. And I was getting ready to graduate and met with my president of my school, and who I knew fairly well, and mentioned to him what I wanted to do. And he said, well, one of my best friends is the voice of the Pirates. Would you mind if I put a call in for you? I said, of course not. Go right ahead. And so he actually called my dorm room one night. My roommate answered, and we were jumping around like little girls, screaming. Couldn't believe that the voice of the Pirates was calling me on my phone at my dorm. And he became a good contact for me, and 6 months later, I was working for the Pirates. And that was in front of their All-Star game season when they hosted the All-Star game. So they really ramped up their salespeople in an effort to drive up the ticket numbers to give you a lot for the All-Star game. So I was hired to come in and sell, and I did that. I was the number two salesperson in the department, I think. But as soon as the season was done, they told me that, you know, basically we hired you for the All-Star game and we don't have that next year, so there's no full-time positions available. You can come back next year as a part-time salesman or you can move on. So I chose to move on and start my career. I moved to Florida, worked for a hockey team for 6 months, and then moved to Columbus, Georgia, where I worked for a minor league baseball team. So I stepped up both times as far as the position. I won a championship there, so I got my first ring. And then I was looking for another job because, as you and I were talking off air there, Columbus, Georgia is a miserable place to be most of the year, if not the whole year. And so I was looking to get out as soon as I could. And I was found online. I was found online by a team and a guy I'd never heard of before out in Odessa, Texas, looking for indoor football, an indoor football team there, which I'd never heard of before. And so I was hired by Tommy Benicio, who's our, you know, our team majority owner, and I went out there and worked for him, and instantly knew that he was someone I could learn from, and really stuck with him and learned what I was doing. And a year and a half later, after he'd moved to Richmond to be the commissioner of the IFL, he recommended me to take over the Richmond Revolution to start that team. They didn't even have a name at that point, but I was interviewed and hired, moved to Richmond, Virginia, and started my own team, and we set all kinds of attendance records and played over 100% capacity the first season, went 13-1, won franchise of the year, ran the table. It was pretty awesome. Lost in the first round of playoffs. After 2 years of that team, the parent company went bankrupt, and I was out of a job again, so I ended up working for the IFL for 6 months. I was in charge of team services, so basically, I'd help out any teams that needed it. You know, I'd assist Tommy with what he was doing, and if a team needed any help, I'd take care of that. And he was presented with an opportunity to come work for the Allen Wranglers, which he turned down 5 or 6 times, and ultimately accepted it under the stipulation that I would come work with him as his vice president. So I agreed, and 4 years ago, I believe last Wednesday, we moved to Dallas and worked for the Allen Wranglers, which was interesting. You know, dealing with the Terrell Owens situation was quite quite an experience. I learned a lot doing that. When it comes to the whole PO thing, it's probably one of the more interesting days in this business I've ever had. You know, I was one of 4 people that knew we were getting rid of him. I helped write the press release for it. And about 5 minutes before we released the press release, I got a phone call, and my phone said TMZ. And I'm like, that's interesting. So I picked up and answered it, and it turns out it was the actual TMZ. And they said, we're here, you're going to be releasing Terrell Owens today. And none of us know how they found out, because there were 4 of us in the office, and we didn't say a word to anyone. We even made sure we had lunch in the office so that we didn't talk about it out in public. And wow, they still knew. It was unbelievable. So I instantly pulled up my email, clicked send, and released it before they could get the scoop on us. But that was pretty crazy, getting called from SportsCenter and all that stuff. But that team ultimately ended up failing, not because of us, but because of the ownership that was in place. Having one person own it, you know, was not a good situation. But from that, you know, we've been able to really become a blessing to this community and start the team here. And so it's been a very stressful and a very good experience learning how to operate this team and how to make it a success here. So, like I said, it's not a brief story of how I got into this, but that's kind of a story.
No, that sounds like the making of at least probably half of a really great book.
Those of us that have been in this for a long time joke all the time that we could write a book and it would be a bestseller, because there are some crazy people you come up with. You know, some of the stories I have of former owners of teams in this league and other leagues, it's it would be a bestseller for sure. It's amazing. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, especially just in the last few years, I mean, you could write probably a third of the book on Terrell Owens. You could write a third of the book on bringing in Jen Welter as a player and then a coach.
Jen's a great story, for sure. I mean, Jen, we were looking for a promotional aspect to our season. Yeah, the first season we announced Tim Brown and had some things going on like that. Then the second year we were looking for something that would get attention, because we, in this marketplace, you know, in smaller marketplaces, you can have a press conference even once every 2 or 3 weeks that you get to a season, and it'll get covered every time. But here in this marketplace, we get one time a year to try and get the attention of the media. So we need to do something big. And so we thought, you know, well, let's do a fun promotional thing where we have a girl play for us. That's never been done before. And so I did some research and found Jen, who was one of the best, if not the best, women's football player in the world. And so I reached out to her on Facebook and asked if she wanted to come and meet with us, and we were blown away immediately by her. And that led to her signing the team, and then her becoming a coach, and then her going to the Cardinals. She had a lot to do with that. We definitely had a good hand in that as well, and it was fun to see her grow. I actually got a chance to see her last week. It was a lot of fun hanging out with her for a little bit just to see how she's doing.
Yeah, so far I haven't been able to cross paths with her in person. We've spoken a lot on the phone and across social media, and of course she's been on here a couple times. And I've had people even across the nation that they'll start talking about her or something she's doing, and I'll just forward them part of the show from back then or something like that, and I'm like, you guys need to go read the whole story, because it's way more incredible than you think it is.
Yeah, it really is. It was 100% of promotional stunt up front, but it turned into something much bigger, you know, and she was up front about that. I don't want this to be just a promotional stunt. I want to do this for real. I want to actually go out there and take the hit, and I want to show that girls can play this sport as well, and that's what she did. It's been awesome to watch her go all over the country and become a celebrity. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And she's been able to represent the Revolution and all the ventures she does as well, because you guys kind of really helped get the ball rolling on that.
Yep. It's sad that she doesn't live here anymore, but she made it out to our first game. She hadn't slept in 2 days. And
wow.
She showed up, and she looked pretty haggard. But I gave her a big hug, told her we were proud of her. It's the first time I've seen her since the Cardinals. And I just said she was glad to be there. And like I said, I saw her last week as well. So it's been fun. I think she lives in Miami now or somewhere in Florida. So. You still there?
And we apologize. Somehow I think some people are working on some lines in the area, and for some reason it just happens to be the one connected to the studio. So you guys will bear with us here. And all right, we got you there, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what happened. I just totally lost you there for a second.
It's something on our end. Like I was just telling people, either people are working on the lines in the area again, which they've done before, or like I said, we got some of this same software that Sony runs, so I guess we get another
sure.
hiccup.
That's okay.
But what I was going to ask you is, basically, like I said, the way you got into the sports world is kind of similar to how Catherine Dunn got into the media world that she's into now. And she brought up that you were one of the teams that contacted her back. So what was that first meeting like?
It was quite interesting, actually. I got an email from her. And really just thought, you know, we were getting ready to launch our video that we were going to have, our post-game videos. And we were still in the planning stages of what that was going to look like. And she walked in, and I had an intern come back And he's like, there's someone here. He's all wide-eyed. And I'm like, well, who is it? And he's like, I don't know. It's for you. I said, well, her name's Catherine, and she's a Mavericks dancer. He goes, yeah, she is. And I was like, I know. I said, you're fine. Don't worry. And so I went out and met with her, and after 5 minutes, I knew that she was going to be perfect for it. She was going to be able to be our host and to take care of things. And we've just grown from there, which is pretty cool.
Definitely so. And from the first media work I saw of hers, I've been a fan of hers as well. She just, it's almost like it's natural to her. She's really good at it.
Yeah, she really is. It's taken over with other teams here in the area. You know, they saw it and were able to use her, which has been pretty amazing. You know, I keep telling her not to forget about us because we want to keep her here for sure. So I'll let all those other ones take care of her, but we want her first. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And she's working on her second year of Inside the Revolution, and. You know, each show seems to get better and better, and I know she has fun with it, and the players, I know, love having her around as well, because they said it's so easy to just talk to her as opposed to getting interviewed.
Yeah, she makes it some of the, so they're very friendly and up close and personal, and you know, it's a good mix for sure. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to go through a couple of the other cast of awesome characters you guys have over that way. Just, you know, real briefly, what you think their either impact is on the Revolution, or if you have a funny, embarrassing story, we'll take those as well.
Okay. Yeah, I got more than enough, that's for sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Social media pictures sometimes help us out with some of them. But now I'm going to start with Sonny Clark and what he's meant to the Revolution.
Wow, Sonny Clark. He was with the Wranglers. That's where I met him. And it was something that we knew we were starting a team and wanted to get up. And we knew that we needed someone to do our radio, and so we reached out and just asked if he wanted to be a part of that, and he was more than willing, you know. And so he's gotten better and better. You know, he was still just starting out back then. He's been in his fifth year or so, and so we have a nice little friendship going on there as a part of the team, and he's also, you know, we have a thing there where we talk at the end of the first quarter. We've done that for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good part. He's a great part of the organization, to be honest. We really love having him here and love being able to have at least his touchdown calls on our hold music. That's a pretty cool. So.
Wow, I guess it's been a while since I've been on hold when I call the office up there. So
yeah.
I'm gonna have to listen to that. I guess I just never know.
Yeah, call the office and ask to be put on hold. You'll enjoy it.
Well, usually if the next person I was going to mention answers the phone, I seem to be put on hold anyway. So I like to mess with them about it.
So who was that?
That would be, and we'll put it in quotations because I think this will forever be one of his titles with the organization, Intern Dave. Are you still with us? Charlie, you still with us?
Sorry, yeah.
There you
are.
Okay.
I was pulling into my garage. Connecting to my Wi-Fi. So, he's been with the team for 3 years. He's actually getting appearance requests now, which is unheard of. The regular staff members.
Wow.
But he's extremely popular and people really love him. And he was brought on. I've always been the kind of person who handles operations, a lot of the game ops. I do a lot of the game ops on the field. In my position, I kind of needed to get away from that. And was looking to hire someone that I could bring in to kind of mold into becoming a new game ops person for me. And so I hired Dave and kind of taught him, and it after a few games, it was evident it wasn't going to work out. He just wasn't enjoying it, and we were able to find a different way to get him involved and get him in as an intern. And last year, you know, we had him out there, and he has this unusually hairy chest. And so we thought, you know, this, how can we make fun of this in a tasteful way? Because he was always showing off in the office. You know, we had to make a move your clothes on, Dave, rule in the office because it was becoming an issue. He got to the point where we were going to wax his chest at halftime of the game last year. We were using a lot of Jimmy Fallon skits. And
right.
We had the idea to play trivia. We were going to do Revolution Trivia. And if you got the question right, then you earn a prize. If you got it wrong, then Dave gets his chest waxed. And we had to pull the fan out of the stands. And we told him, we said, hey, don't worry. Texas Revolution Trivia, it's not going to be a problem. And he's like, okay, cool, because I really don't want to have my chest waxed. We're like, okay, you're good, you're good. And then I wrote the trivia questions, and they were all about the actual Texas Revolution, which no one knows.
Yep.
I picked obscure stuff. And so...
I remember that. I went back and watched that video because it was that funny.
Yeah, well, his face just dropped. Like, he's like, oh, my goodness, you got me. Like, you know, I got you good, you know. And so that was so popular. I mean, that led to people taking pictures of him and making memes out of it, and just it was hysterical. And we thought, well, this is way too good. We need to continue doing this. And so we need to find more ways to do things. So we come up with something new for him every single game. Ways to torture him. And sometimes they're good, sometimes they fall completely flat on their face. Last game was the worst we've ever done. Just wasn't executed well. But then we've had other ones where him as a cow 2 weeks ago or 2 games ago was hysterical.
Yep.
Chugging hot sauce was amazing. The best one will be the next game on April 15th.
I was about to say, I wasn't going to mention it in case you wanted to keep the cat in the bag, but it's the one you mentioned to Sonny a couple games ago, right?
We advertise it.
Okay.
We're actually going to be doing oil wrestling on the field, but we're not saying who it is. we already know who it is, and it's going to be amazing. But it's going to be the highlight of the game by far. Like, the game comes second to Dave oil wrestling. It's actually on our promotional schedule. I can't wait. I've been waiting for it for months. So it's going to be amazing. And he's just he keeps everyone entertained in the office for sure. So he's a great part of the team.
Yeah, like I said, I haven't been able to talk to him more than a couple minutes because usually he just happens to be the one that picks up the phone and transfers me to whoever else I'm trying to bug that day.
Yeah.
But, hopefully we can get him on the show in the next couple of weeks. And I would
do it in 2 weeks in advance of the April 15th game, you know, his big wrestling match. So he's ready. He's getting pumped for it. He knows that he's going to have to bring his A game because it's going to be pretty amazing. So I would do it.
Well, I was going to say my quick hit on that would be either you guys can shoot one of those Hulkamania training videos or you can fly out the Impact here, and I can put him through the Impact workout so that he's ready. Because I actually trained to be a professional wrestler for a couple of years, so you know maybe we could
get
him in shape.
Well, we don't want him to be in too good a shape. We want him to get the crap kicked out of him. So,
oh right, I would purposely help set him up for failure because I would show him everything not to do, but tell him that's the thing to do.
Yeah.
So Dave,
no,
if you're listening,
to,
tune out for the next
fail.
Couple seconds. Yeah.
It's gonna
oh,
be,
of course.
Yeah. And we told him we were discussing at lunch what we want to do to him. We've discussed the possibility of something involving electricity, but he's saying no. whether that be a taser or a cow prod or something like that, but it's just not, he's not willing to do that. So we settled on, I think the last game of the year, we're going to bring back the chest waxing just because it was way too good. And he's not a fan, but I think he takes that over getting electrocuted any day. So.
Yeah, I think his lady friend would probably approve of you guys maybe getting rid of a few more hairs.
I don't know. His wife was out at the hot sauce chugging game, and she was laughing harder than anyone else because he was crying. I mean, that was a torture for one for sure because he had no idea it was coming, and it was bad. So,
wow. Well, I'll keep it short and get to the last guy I was really going to get to here, and that would be the. assistant GM, Mr. John Tavares. I don't know if you've met him. I'm sure he works in the same office, but, you know, if you haven't met him, I guess you guys can maybe go split a milkshake and a hamburger or something.
Yeah, I know John well. I hired him a few years ago as an intern. So it's been fun to see him grow. Yeah, he was a 20-year-old kid when we brought him on. And he's grown into a great position. Yeah, and he's got a good future ahead of him, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I know you and John and Dave had a pretty good time. You weren't able to make the trip out for the last game, but you guys went to game on?
Yeah, we went to our post-game and our watch party hangout. And yeah, during the commercials, Dodge City had selfies of all the fans in the stands. We're like, wonder if we could get on there. And so we got their hashtag, and so we started taking selfies of ourselves and putting the hashtag, and they started putting them up there. And so we're just cracking up. We just couldn't believe it. Like, they're actually posting things on their broadcast that they're cheering for the visiting team. Like, and that was pretty funny. So,
well, I'm gonna have to get one of you guys in the arena sometimes when I some of these away games, when they start doing that again, I'll start doing pictures from out where we watch games at. It'd be funny. Their entire page is littered with us, you know, shenanigans from other places.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We try to have fun. This is one of the first times we've done something like that, but it'll be interesting in Mesquite this weekend, being across town. So it'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that game is it's going to be in Mesquite, which is actually just right down the road, I believe, right?
Yeah, it's 25 miles or so.
The new rival now.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be it's going to be a good rivalry. I think we're going to play each other four times a year, every year. So we're going to build that real fast. So,
oh yeah, absolutely.
It'll be exciting.
And of course, we're on with the president of the Texas Revolution, Mr. Charlie Hilbold. And I guess, you know, I know you watch the game because we all watch the games, and that's just, you know, that's just part of it. Whether you're part
of
it,
I can watch about four or five plays a game. That's about it. Usually too busy doing other things during the game. I watch the road games, but the home games I really don't get a chance to see much. So it's unfortunately the part of my position that most people don't even think of is the fact that I'm usually out in the concourse dealing with problems or saying hi to fans or up in the suites saying hi to all those people or talking with Sonny or dealing with an arena issue or something. There's always something that comes up, you know, planning our halftime and getting Dave painted and that kind of stuff. So I don't actually have a lot of time to watch the games. Occasionally I'll watch the end of the first half and I'll try not to do anything at the end of the fourth quarter just so I can see the end of the game. That's usually what I get to watch. So
right. That's, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when you're in the front office of running a team, whether it be you know, collegiate level, indoor, outdoor, wherever it is, I mean, even smaller sports at places, a lot of times that means you don't get to see the games. And, of course, you can always go back and watch the game film and go back and watch the other stuff, but a lot of people don't realize you don't get to watch those.
Yeah, I didn't know that when I came into this business. I thought it's going to be a lot of fun. I get to work at sporting events and just sit there and watch the games and get paid for it, and it's not true at all. So it's not true at all. But it's okay. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Oh, of course. But I was kind of in the same boat when I first started to get into media. And the thing I realized is if you get into management, which is still you know, open possibilities that I have into management, into positions like yours. But I realized with media that you do get paid and fed to go watch the games and get to do that. So since I like to watch the games,
yeah,
you guys have
the lucky jobs for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if it's the actual job. It's that much fun sometimes.
Yep. Well, I can tell you the biggest thing I've learned is if you're looking to get into a really big sporting event that you're not supposed to be at, just wear a suit.
Yep.
If you wear a suit and you go into the back door and you look like you belong there, you know, you can ask John about this, but he was on the field for the national anthem for the Cowboys Cardinals game last year. Literally standing 2 feet away from the Cardinals owner. Didn't have a pass, had no right to be there at all, but he wore a suit. walked right past every security guard, and they didn't stop him one bit. And it's worked for me. It's worked for Tommy at other places we've gone. You walk in with a suit, and you look like you belong there, people will never say a word to you, which is a little known fact. So I probably just gave a whole bunch of people an idea to break into their favorite sporting event, but whatever. He didn't hear it from me.
Exactly. Kids, do not listen to anything we say like that.
Wink, wink, wear a suit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I don't have to worry about that. Usually when I cover games, I'm usually in at least a vest and tie. So it's, but, yeah, it's, I've seen people try to do it all the time. People try to follow me into arenas all the time, and they just try to think, well, I'm just going to walk in with this guy. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the arenas, when we cover a lot of things out here on the East Coast in the Atlanta area, there's about 3 security checkpoints to get into the Georgia Dome, Turner Field, those kinds of places. So, unfortunately,
oh, yeah.
You can't fake it that way, but there are some places you can use the suit tactic.
Oh, definitely.
But now we'll get more into some legal stuff so that we don't get a lot of angry emails, or at least I don't get a lot of angry emails that I will happily forward to you. No, it's all in good fun. You know, what are some of the future things coming up for the Revolution, whether it be big promotions? I know you guys have the Polo Tropical stuff going on that I know a lot of the players have been able to go take advantage of. They're building those all over the place, so I'm looking forward to going to check one out as well. Is there something big the fans should be looking for? I mean, you don't have to announce it, just, you know.
Nothing much. I mean, we already announced our promotional schedule, so nothing really is changing. We didn't announce, but we're bringing back. We had a guy come out and perform at our opening night game last year, Rubber Boy.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually bringing him back here. He'll be here April 29th. We had a big crowd scheduled for the first game, and then we had a massive ice storm hit. And so he is coming back to perform to a bigger crowd and show us a good time. And he's a world famous performer, so it'll be pretty fun to have him there. But other than that, it's going to be what are we doing today for this week, and how are you going to keep me entertained during the game? So we want to continue to win. We haven't lost a game in almost 2 years at home. And time to continue that streak.
Absolutely so. And off air and probably throughout the week, I will send you some Dave ideas, some things that probably me and
yeah,
my...
We'll definitely take them. We're kind of running low on ways to actually torture someone without making people completely upset of us. So,
see, I got some cross-promotion ideas that I think could work.
Well, send them on for sure.
I definitely will. And... one such thing carries the theme of, I know you're a big Pittsburgh sports fan. Obviously, you're from Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh will always be one of my favorite cities because it's home to my favorite Olympian, and I'm pretty sure you'd have an idea who that is.
Favorite Olympian?
Mm-hmm.
I guess because you were trying to get into wrestling, so Kurt Angle, I'm guessing?
It would be Kurt Angle, yep. It's anybody that can win a gold medal with a broken neck. You gotta be a fan of that guy.
Yep, it's that'll always be home. Every time I go visit, I don't say I'm leaving home to go visit my parents. I'm going home. It's got a special place for me. I love it and I miss it. And I would take a job with one of those teams in a heartbeat and leave this one in a second if I got it. But. It hasn't come to fruition yet, and maybe someday. But it was the highlight of my life to work for my hometown team, a team I grew up following, that my dad grew up following, that my grandpa was drafted by. Just to be able to work for a team like the Pirates was, I'll never forget the first day. Walking in there, I was in awe, just complete in awe, getting my badge and everything. It was the coolest experience of my life for sure. So... and then getting to know, I was still naive enough to think that athletes were something amazing back then. And then after about a month, I got to know some of the players and got to hang out with some of them at some events and realized that, wow, he's 3 months older than me. Like, I shouldn't be that impressed by this guy, And I became friends with them to the point where the team was not good by any stretch. They had the worst record in baseball at the All-Star break. They were a really, really bad team. But they still had some good players. They had a guy named Jason Bay, who's since retired, but he was a superstar for the Pirates. And I got to know him a little bit. And I remember bringing my family. I had a brother who, back then he would have been 7 years old. So I had my parents come down and my brother come down to a game. And I said, come early, I'll give you a tour of the ballpark. I'll give you a tour of the locker room and the dugout and all this kind of stuff. The tour that I would give a normal fan. And we're walking through the tunnel, and I see Jason Bay coming, and that's my brother's favorite player, 7 years old. He loves Jason Bay. And he stops, and he goes, Charlie, what's up? And I'm like, not much, just taking my family on a tour. And he's like, really? And he gets down on one knee, pulls my brother over, and signs his shirt. And he's like, you're Charlie's brother? He's like, that makes you the coolest kid ever. And I was like, my goodness, this guy's a millionaire. And he's like a superstar, like talking to my brother about this. My brother has never forgotten that. It was just at that point I realized that I lost any infatuation with any athlete. You know, ever since then, every time I meet one, I'm like, yeah, you're a normal person. I'm okay with it. And that's been pretty exciting. Yeah, I got the chance to go up to Denver to see the Steelers play in the playoffs, and that was a lot of fun. And I check out the Penguins anytime I can. But the Pirates are always my first love, for sure.
Well, in the, you know, the look, limited time we'll have you on here, because I know you have important things you got to get to. We'll hit the Pirates real quickly, because, I mean, since you said Jason Bay, I don't personally have any ill will towards him, but seeing as how my Mets paid for him to sit on the bench for a while, you're welcome, Jason. I hope you like it, but that was during all those Mets years where we seemed to like to pay people to not play. So I think we're still paying Bobby Bonilla, who's a former Pirate.
I think the last payment went to him in last year. So he was, paid $2 million a year from, 2000 to 2015?
Yeah.
Brilliant play by he and his agent. That's
absolutely.
I mean, he's set for life getting a $2 million paycheck every December 15th or whatever for 15 years. He hasn't played baseball in 25 years. So that was brilliant. Absolutely. And no team will ever allow that ever again.
No. Not at all.
That was a one-time thing for sure. But he was part of a great Pirates team. My favorite player of all time played, you know, center field for the team. That's why I wore number 18. That's why, you know, I have everything I possibly can get of his signed and hanging in my apartment. So it's Andy Vance likes his name. He was a center fielder. He was a star for the Pirates alongside Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla. So it was. That's when I started to follow them, when they were winning the playoffs, in the playoffs all the time, before we became the worst team ever.
I was about to say, we were actually the same age, so I was gonna name off a handful of those Pirate players, because I distinctly remember them.
I could still name the whole roster if I wanted to. So it's but you're in Atlanta, and I definitely can't have a hatred for the Braves.
They're not my team, but yeah, I was going to mention, growing up in the Atlanta area, probably still the biggest Pirate memory of anybody from Atlanta was
don't say his name. I don't even want to hear it.
That older Mario looking gentleman. He looked like Mario from the Super Mario Brothers.
The one that Barry Bonds, the best player in history, couldn't throw out while he had a broken leg.
I remember the call and all that stuff, and I'm not going to bring it up.
That's the first time I've ever stayed up to watch a baseball game. I was 9 years old, so I'm okay with not remembering it. I won't sleep well tonight.
Yeah, because it puts you guys in a bad spot, but you guys are coming out of it. I mean, I actually like the things they've done with it, and that's where I was going to transition quickly to. I mean, obviously McCutchen is the most recognizable guy. Everybody really likes him and everything, but
you can go
up and down this lineup, and they've really put together a solid roster.
Yeah, and it's going to get better. The pitching rotation leaves a lot to be desired this year. I really don't think it's going to be that good, but we have some really good prospects coming up, some top pitching prospects. But the lineup's good. You know, they're missing one of my favorite guys. They traded him to your Mets. So good luck. Have fun with Neil Walker. You're going to love him. And but our outfield is amazing. Got a great catcher, a good shortstop. We have a good third baseman. I mean, it is a really good lineup from top to bottom. I really like that, and the pitching is good. You know, two or three of the guys are really good. The bottom two in the rotation leave a lot to be desired, but hopefully that'll change when we got our guys coming up from the minors.
Yeah, what, Glasnow or however you, Glasnow, however you say
yep.
him. And
Glasnow and Jameson Taillon. Yep, those will be our couple of them with Garrett Cole and Francisco Liriano, and that's a foursome you ever want to have to deal with. So.
Well, and John Neese is pretty, you know, he was in New York for a few minutes, so he's pretty solid too. But, I mean, if he was
yeah.
your four or five, then you're set.
That's the hope. Yeah, it's nothing compared to what the Mets are throwing out there, but it'll be hopefully there soon.
Hey, we're all taking our turns. You can only sit at the bottom so long before you finally float up, right?
Exactly. Unless you're the Browns.
Yeah, that's true. I think on our Thursday show here where we talk some NFL stuff, I think I said they've got to be the worst franchise in sports. They just keep making the same mistakes and just don't fix it. They don't learn from anything.
Yeah. Well, their owner came out last week and said, when you say the name Cleveland Browns, everyone thinks it's a joke. But we're going to make sure that's not the case. And I tweeted back at him and saying something along the lines of, you're from Cleveland and your name is actually the Browns, we're going to continue to make fun of you no matter what.
I saw
that. it's stupid. I mean, they're so, like, it's just a joke. I mean, that city in general is depressing. I used to go to Indians games when I was in college because I was actually closer than Pittsburgh. And it could be the sunniest, most beautiful day ever as you're driving into the city and it's cloudy as soon as you get into Cleveland. It just like breeds depression. As a Pittsburgh kid, though, you'll never hear me say anything nice about Cleveland.
Exactly. But, of course, like I said, the game last week, I know you were actually able to watch it when you guys were hanging out watching the away game. To me, it just there was three main things that really popped up. And in no way am I going to say anything bad about the team. For one, the talent level is just as high as it was last year. It's just trying to get all the new guys to get used to the older guys and the veterans that were here and new coaching staff. It's one of the things about indoor league. But to me, it seems like we need some work on the special teams as far as not giving up so many, you know, yards off a kickoff.
I think it's more just the defensive backs need to get a little bit better. You know, we were missing Frankie. And,
right.
We were missing Wendy Holmes, and we were missing Zim Williams, and then we lost Abram, in the middle of the second quarter because he had two personal mm-hmm. fouls. And so it's like, you know, we were playing with three wide receivers back there. I mean,
right.
they were just throwing deep every play because there's nothing we could do to stop them. It'll be a lot different when they come and visit us.
Right. That,
sure.
that was
and
the main point
taken,
I was going to say.
We've already signed someone new. You know, former player for our team coming back here to play on defense. And we actually played him this year. He played for the Stealth, actually. So it'll be interesting to see how that'll help. But I know that having everyone back healthy and we're gonna be fine. I'm not worried. One game hiccup and move on. We still put up 71 points. You know, Robert Kent set
right.
a team record for touchdowns in a game, and you know, we were playing without Jordan Brown. It's just we gave him a game. And they're going to come down here and be plenty confident, and it'll be a different story for sure. So,
oh, yeah,
not too worried.
Yeah, I was going to say that injuries to me was the biggest part of it, and to have as many people out as we did and to, you know, like you said, have people that probably had never played certain positions in those positions just to have a body out there sometime. I mean, to put anyone on the board.
Solomon chase after guys is absurd. Best receiver in indoor football history shouldn't be playing defense. So it just was the unfortunate situation we were in. And, I'm not worried. You know, I just felt bad for Coach having to put up – and the players for having to deal with it. You know, it was just something that was just, let's get this game over with, you know, and move on and lick our wounds and come back stronger. And they will.
Yep. Absolutely. And since there hadn't been a press release, I actually know some of the players you guys signed the other day. And because, you know, we had a former Stealth member on earlier this year, right before he played against you guys, Shane Floyd. And he's a good friend of the show. But, yeah, the Stealth still talk to us anyway after having one of their players on. So I look forward to the two guys that I believe you guys signed from there. And based off of what I know and what I've seen, I think the team just got a lot better.
I think so, too. I don't know if we've actually announced it, so I'm not going to say anything until it's actually official. But, yeah, we had a guy who did well for us a couple of years ago when we were still in the IFL, and he's coming back here. So it'll be good. He was on offense for the Stealth. He's on defense for us, which is where he'll excel for sure.
Right, absolutely. Like we said, you know, in case John's out there listening, because I know he is, we're not going to release the names. In fact, I don't even have the screen up for that very reason, but Revolution fans, just know we're going to fix the small blemish we had this week.
Yeah, definitely. Start the Mesquite.
Exactly. And, of course, that's this Saturday at 7 Central Time, correct?
Yes.
And, of course, like we said, that's in the, I guess, I don't know if it's called the Mesquite Arena or what is that called over there?
The Mesquite Rodeo Arena.
That's right.
It'll be good. It'll be a good show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, a lot of people kind of thought of Mesquite this year, as a lot of people did the Gladiators last year, that they're kind of a throwaway easy team. But Mesquite's already put some good numbers on the board. In fact, didn't they beat the defending champion from last year?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty different defending champion.
Right.
But, yeah, they did beat them. They did definitely did beat them. So.
And, you know, that's the good thing about the CIF is no matter how long a team has been in the CIF, everybody's got a competitive product to put on the field, and it makes it more exciting for the fans and definitely makes it more exciting for the players and coaches and you guys.
Yep, I agree.
And then, of course, like you said, you don't want to miss the game a couple weeks after that when the San Angelo Bandits will be in town on April 15th. So make sure to have your taxes done early that day. In fact, if you want to, he's going to get mad at me for saying that, but find Darius Fudge, have him do your taxes that morning, let him have a nap so he's rested, and then come to the Allen Arena so that you can see the San Angelo Bandits lose to your Texas Revolution, and, of course, intern Dave showing his amateur wrestling skills against an unknown opponent.
It'll be amazing. It'll be amazing.
In fact, that may go on the highlight video.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. We have... We have ways to make that happen.
Well, definitely so. And one of the fan questions that came in, because we actually do get fan questions and we appreciate the fan questions, one of the ones that came in wanted to know what your message to the fans would be this year. And it could be anything because they left it open. So just your interpretation or what you would tell the fans. If they were lined up in front of you right now, what would you tell them either about this team or why they should come to the game or whatever?
I would just say thank you. You know, we're here in our fourth season because people continue to support this team. Tommy and I started this with nothing, literally nothing. It's grown into a profitable company that will be here as long as we want it to be. And that's exciting. And just, you know, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for being loyal to us and coming out and enjoying it and becoming a part of our family. You know, this is something that Tommy and I do especially. This is all we do. You know, there's some owners that the team is a secondary job or something fun for them. That's not the case for us, you know, and it's something that we care about more than pretty much anything. And that's when we have people that come out and support us, that means the world to us. And so just a big thanks from us to you.
And definitely shows. It's that family atmosphere, I think, that draws the fans in.
I agree. That's what we're trying for.
But also, I'll leave it to a fun question on the end here, because we also get a lot of messages from the fans saying we tend to end on serious answers. So since we had a good serious answer there, we'll leave it up to this one. They want to know... if you were a superhero, which superhero would you be?
Superman.
You're a big Superman guy?
Not even a question. Indestructible and can fly. I mean, come on.
Did you see the new movie? Not yet.
I'm trying to get some time here. So, soon. There's no question.
You'll have to let me know how good that is, because I haven't been able to go see it. I have a little nephew who is trying to get me to go see it with him, so I may have to do that.
I'm one of the few people that really, really enjoyed Man of Steel. I grew up loving Superman, so I'm sure it's going to be great. Even if people don't like it, it doesn't matter to me. I'll still buy it. I'll still enjoy it.
And, exactly. As long as it's entertaining, that's all I ask.
Yep. I agree.
Well, like I said, I know you're busy, Charlie, and I know you got a lot of Revolution-related things to do tonight. So I appreciate you joining us here on Revolution Zone. And as I've promised this entire season, I promise the fans that I try to have all the guests on later on in the season as well, because a lot of them want to have you guys back on.
Sounds good.
But we'll see you on later down the road, and appreciate you being on.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Jeremy.
Have a good night.
All right, you too.
And that was president and co-owner of Your Texas Revolution, Mr. Charlie Hilbold. He was a lot of fun to talk to. I know a lot of you guys, you know, we have the players on a lot of times. We've had Sonny on, and you guys wanted to, you know, since we've had John Navarez and Catherine and a lot of other ones on, you guys wanted to have more of the front office people to see how things go. Now, after having Charlie on, I think you guys know why this team does as well as it does. It's that family atmosphere. It's people who care about it. And it's people who know what they're doing. I mean, like he said, he's worked for minor league baseball teams. He's been with hockey teams, other football teams. He's actually helped the IFL League, which is where the Revolution were just a couple years ago. I mean, the guy knows what he's talking about. And definitely Tommy Benizio as well. Those two know what they're doing. They got the right plan in place. They got the right people in place. That's how good businesses work. And, of course, they're always going to be entertaining. Always going to be entertaining, especially for you, the fans. And like I said, and like he mentioned as well, April 15th, the next home game, make sure to drop on by and see who intern Dave's opponent is going to be. You know, we'll try to get him on somewhere around then. Maybe before and after. Maybe the week before, the Tuesday before we'll have him on, and the Tuesday after. And we'll get a before and after. We'll see how things are going. But, you know, as we said, your Revolution did drop the game. They are currently tied for second. As far as tiebreakers go, they are in third overall in the Southern Division of the CIF. You can go to gocif.net to get all the league information, and, of course, texasrev.com for all things Revolution. That's going to do it for us this week. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. This has been Revolution Zone. We'll see you guys next week. Cannons up. Go Rev. I'll be